is the scariest day that you can imagine. Maybe you go to the doctor and the doctor says you have cancer. Now, lots of cancers have cures. From time to time, I've heard people say that they've been told that they were going to have a cancer. This is the one you have. Don't worry about it. We have treatment. You'll be fine. But what about the day that you hear that you have cancer and they say there's no treatment, there's nothing we can do, and you have 1 year left? Would that frighten you? Maybe you get a call and one of your loved ones has died. Maybe killed in a car wreck. I thought a lot about things that frighten us. Some people don't seem to frighten that easily. Some people are stronger than others. Some deal with tragedy. Some deal with difficulties better than others. But I'm going to say to you, the most frightening thing that you and I could possibly imagine is the day of judgment. It's not death. I think we're all resigned that one day we're going to die. We just don't want it to be today. We're going to die. But we know after we die is the judgment. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Jesus had a lot to say about judgment. The Apostle Peter, he said, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." If you think just for a moment, all of the wicked that have ever died, all the unrighteous, all the ungodly, God has them waiting for the judgment day. John said, "By this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world." There's a sense in which the day of judgment ought to produce in us, rather than fear, confidence. A look forward to it day. Paul said, and as he was discussing the righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present. And when I find time, I will summon you." This king, as he listened to Paul preach, was frightened. I remember growing up hearing preachers talk about hell, death, the judgment. And I remember it scaring me, frightening me. Does it frighten you? Does it scare you? It should. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. So why should you repent? Because there's going to be a day. And God's going to judge the world. Jude said, "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day." I don't really know how you feel about the idea. It's been discussed and debated among Christians for a long time. About the idea of you, when you die, you go directly to heaven or not. And that might be absolutely true. I'm just not convinced from Scripture that that's true. But nonetheless, if that's true, when I die and I go straight to heaven, I'm all good. I'm good with that. But what I read in the Scriptures doesn't really point to that. Rather than, it points to the idea that we all die and we wait for the day of judgment, which Jude says, the great day. And there would be, in a sense, that if each of us dies and there is a judgment personally, then there would be judgment days, would it not, for the fact that each of us has a day? But it's not personalized in the sense you have a day for you. It's that there is a great day for all. Nevertheless, when we look at what Jesus and Peter and John and Paul and Jude talk about, today I really want to talk to you about the judgment day. And so with today's lesson, I really want to ask you, what do you really know about that day? Then more importantly, are you ready for it? Thank you for being here today. It's a good day for us to be here and to be able to worship God and for us to be together. I hope that as we worship together, we'll not only encourage each other, but we'll glorify God. So let's look a little bit closer at the judgment day. The Bible says that each and every person will be there. Again, I think that's a powerful argument against the fact that when you die, you go directly to heaven or not, because of the judgment day. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So when you think about that, each and every one of us will be there. I think this idea applies to since the beginning of time with Adam. I have no idea how many people that will be. There's over 8 billion people on the planet now. And all that's lived since Adam has got to be a pretty high number. But yet the Scriptures teach us that we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what is significant about that, Paul says, "But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God.' So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Again, the tenor of all of these passages make it very clear that there is a day, a great day, and all are gathered before Him. It's inescapable. The text says, for we must all appear. You know, when God says something's going to happen, it happens. Whether it's positive reward or it's negative or punitive. When God said, let there be light, it happened. When God says, we must all appear, we will be there. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. We'll see in a moment that there is bowing and confessing. Standing doesn't necessarily have to mean literally you stand. But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The point is that it's inescapable. You will appear before God. You might have done something. You got a court date. You might be able to get out of it. Might be able to pay the lawyer, pay the judge. know somebody in high place. Things like that happen. But that's not going to happen with the day of judgment. We're not going to wiggle out of it. We're not going to escape it. We will be there. And you will be judged personally. Each one may be recompensed for his deeds. Again, I'm not sure there's many people that believe it this way, but I think there are some who think that, well, you're a member of the Anderson Church, so the Anderson Church will be called up and we'll all stand before God and we'll be judged as a church, and the good ones, you know, their good deeds will help the bad ones with their bad deeds, but we'll just all kind of take it into effect and, you know, the balance will be made and so forth, and, you know, if the church has more good than bad, then the whole church gets to go in. There's nothing in Scripture that says that. Nothing. Nothing even akin to that. But rather that we will be judged personally. You may recall, not too awful long ago, I preached a lesson on the woman that was caught in adultery. And you remember she was brought before Jesus, and the Jews said she was caught in the very act of adultery, and according to the law, she must be stoned. What do you say, Lord? And remember, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And finally, they kept pressing him and pressing him and pressing him. And finally, he answered. But the thing about that is that Jesus judged this woman according to the law. Now, they said she was caught in adultery, the very act. But there were no witnesses. You cannot put to death, under the law of Moses, you could not put to death anybody without more than one witness. If there's just one witness, you could not be stoned. There were no witnesses. The witnesses were supposed to throw the first stones. They weren't there. There was no man there. Just a woman. That was a violation of the law. Jesus said, I do not condemn you. He didn't say she hadn't sinned. But I want you to catch that. He judged righteously according to the law. She could not be stoned according to the law because of those violations. But then he told her, go and sin no more. And because of his mercy and because of his forgiveness, he forgave her. Now I want you to keep that in mind. Jesus judged her individually. He did not allow the Jews, he did not allow any other thing to get in the way with judging her personally. That's how we'll be judged. We'll be judged personally. You're probably weary of me mentioning the fact that I'm concerned about my parents. But here's what gives me confidence. They will be judged personally. They will be judged fairly. And if God chooses, through mercy and kindness, to show them any kind of forgiveness, that's His call. I have faith in that. By that, I do not mean I think they're going to get by and everything they did was okay. But here's something that you should equally be confident about. You're going to be judged by the law. And God will judge you fairly, mercifully, and gracious. And you should be thankful for that. You're going to get a good call. But you're going to stand before God and give an answer personally. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I kind of get the idea that, you know, we have Bible classes and so forth, and I ask questions, and people kind of sit there and are afraid to say anything or don't say anything. I get that. I'm fine. I've been in Bible classes, and I've been asked questions. I didn't say anything either. Well, I usually do say something. But anyway, my point is, in the day of judgment, you will answer. You will give an answer. The judgment will be fair. Each one will be judged and recompensed according to his deeds, according to what he's done. You see, Jesus was judged and condemned wrongly. He was innocent. There won't be any of that. You can trust in the fact that when we stand before God in the day of judgment, the judgment will be fair. We might not agree with it. We might not like it, but it's going to be fair. Because you're going to be judged according to your deeds. Now let me stop just for a second to point this out. I think it's important. You're going to be judged for what you do. But doesn't that say you'll be judged for what you don't do? Some of the most scathing rebuke in Scripture is God condemning someone that did nothing. Remember the one talent guy? Remember the church of Laodicea? It just may be that you haven't committed murder, but you hadn't done anything good either. What have you done? Nothing. You'll be judged for that. There's a lot of people that does a lot of good things and nobody knows it. Jesus talked about not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But in the day of judgment, you will be judged fairly for the good that you've done. It's not just negative that you're judged for the bad that you've done or for the good you've not done. But you get the idea that the day of judgment, according to what he has done. What have you done? Nothing. Great. Bad. God knows that. He will judge that. And it'll be fair. He will render every man according to his deeds. So what you do is important. What you don't do is important. Doing nothing is significant. If you're going to be saved on your deeds and you don't have deeds, then what? It'll be comprehensive. Worst thing I used to hear in college is you take a course and you got a whole semester and they say, and there's a comprehensive final. Oh, man. I'd like to be able to just take a week or two and take a test on that and forget it. But no, you got to remember for the whole semester and take a comprehensive final. Not good. I usually drop that class. But anyway, the idea is the secrets of men are going to be judged. The secret thing you thought, said, did, nobody knows it. 20 years ago. It's comprehensive, the judgment. It covers that. It's not just like, well, what did you do in the last, 10 minutes? The statute of limitations have run out on this sin. No. Comprehensive. Does that frighten you? It does me. We'll be recompensed for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. So again, the good things that you 20 years ago, did God forget about that? No. It's comprehensive. It's in your favor. Bad things? Does that count? Yes. Does that go against you? Yes. Now you think about how great God is to know every single person, the good and the bad, that has ever lived. It's a great day. Greater for some than others. Every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. Every slang, every curse word, ever condescending, every ugly thing that you ever said, you give an account for it. So, sometimes I think we as Christians just don't think about the significance of what we say. I say some pretty bad things from time to time. I guess I just forget that God hears and knows and will judge me for it. Be angry and sin not. Well, what do you do usually when you get angry? Well, probably say something you shouldn't say. God will judge you for that. Everything which is hidden, is that scary to you? Positively, again. Could you imagine the day of judgment as we're there and everyone is there? That there's going to be some beautiful things that are going to be revealed about people that we have known. And we'll be there and we'll go, wow, I never knew they did that. Man, they were really a great person. They did all of that and nobody knew. And there will be people that will be judged that, done some great things, but they make sure it's posted on social media and everybody else knows they did a good thing. And remember the Lord when He said that if you do these deeds, for show or for the praise of men, that's the only reward you're going to get. And can you imagine the Lord saying, well, you did this and this and this. That was really great, but you did it for the praise of men. Well, you got the praise of men, but that's it. You don't get any more reward for that. And then, oh yeah, you did this bad. I have not a clue as to how God is going to weave all of that and determine our eternal destiny. I don't know how that's going to work. But I do know all your deeds count. The judge is going to be Jesus. And He's going to be the perfect judge. How many sporting events important to the world championship was decided by some official that made a dumb call? The wrong call. The day of judgment, you can have confidence that the judge is going to make a fair call. Now for us, or for those who are not living the way they ought to live, and if the judge is going to make a fair judgment and the right call, then that's scary. Because we know he's going to call it like it is. The hypocrite. The hypocrite is one, we've talked a little bit about that a couple weeks ago, pretending to be something you're not. You see, the judge is able to take the mask off and see you for what you really are. And I think there are people that are hypocrites that have deceived themselves for so long that they're okay. They don't even realize they're living a hypocritical life. And that's not for me to judge. But Jesus Christ will judge that. And Jesus is the perfect one. You remember in the book of Hebrews, it is emphasized that he is the perfect high priest. Because the high priest represented as a go-between between God and men. And the fact that Jesus became a man, he can represent man. And the fact that he's God, he can represent God. And as the judge, he's a perfect judge. You might go before a judge that doesn't understand really the significance or the import of why you did what you did or the circumstances of what you know you got caught up in or whatever. They may not just have a clue about all of that and really kind of give you an unfair verdict. But Jesus is not going to be that judge. He's going to be that judge that's going to know all the facts, all the situation, what you were thinking, your motive. And that's the reason we're afraid. Because we know, to a certain extent, we all play a game. We play the game of looking good when we know we ain't. We're all in that line. Not constantly, not all the time. But the judge will know. The gospel is the standard of judgment. As I mentioned to go about the woman caught in adultery, God judged her according to the law. So in the day of judgment, there's not going to be anything, you know, new rule that God is going to all of a sudden come up with some rule that we had never heard of and we didn't realize that we had to do that. We will face the day of judgment knowing exactly the rule book, exactly what the rules are. Now we argue and disagree. Preachers preach on things. Members listen, tolerate, believe, don't believe, obey, don't obey. Well, that's the game. That's it. Bottom line is, this is the book. This is what you'll be judged out of. What I will be judged out of. This is it. You agreed what it said or you didn't agree what it said. You did what it said, you didn't do what it said. This is the standard. It won't really matter what I said. It won't really matter what you believed or what you thought. You remember the time that the Sadducees came up because they didn't believe in the resurrection and so forth and so on. They came up to Jesus and said, "Hey, there was this woman, Lord, that was married to this guy. And he died and she didn't have any children. And then she married his brother. And it goes out, and there were seven brothers that had her. And now in the afterlife, whose wife shall she be?" They thought that they had the Lord cornered. They thought they had come up with the ultimate doctrinal proof that there is no afterlife whatsoever. You know what the Lord said to them? "You are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures. I'm fearful of that." The Lord's going to say, "Salih, you taught this and you taught that and you taught this over here and you taught that. You're mistaken. That was not what my word said." That frightens me. This is the standard. It's going to be a day to fear the disobedient. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and afterward they have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom you should fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. You know, when I was in high school, I was in a school, our class was huge and we had a bunch of losers. They just was a bunch of losers. And we got a McDonald's just down the road. And all my friends would get in their cars and go to McDonald's for lunch. Well, you weren't supposed to leave campus. So this is how bright these guys are. They go there knowing that the assistant principal is going to be there. Assistant principal's just waiting for these bozos to come to McDonald's. And he arrests them, you know. And the thing about this guy was, his initials, I've told you this before, his was H-O-T. Harry O. Tibbs was his name. Hot. He was 6'8", weighed about 320. And in that day and time, they gave licks. And that dude had this board that looked like he had taken a plank off of a picnic table and left the nails in it. And when he hit these big bad boys that were just really the baddest boys in the school, he'd lift them plumb off of the floor. And you know what they'd do? Next day they'd go again. They were complete idiots. But you know what? They thought a Big Mac was worth getting the beating for. Now I want you to think about something. Jesus said, don't you ever get that thought in your mind that you can cheat and do wrong and the punishment won't be that bad. Here's a fair warning. There's some bad boys in this world, and they can put a hurting on you. But they ain't nothing compared to the Lord. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. One of the most arrogant, powerful kings of all of human history, Nebuchadnezzar. He humbly bowed and was humbled by God. He can handle you too. He can handle me. So what is it saying? The day of judgment, it's a fearful thing. All the wrongs are going to be made right though, because vengeance is mine, I will repay. The proverbial O.J. Simpson, did he do it? Well, we're going to find out in the day of judgment. God's going to make that right. Either he's innocent or he's guilty. We'll all hear. All the people that you see on a regular basis on the news, whether it's government, whether it's countries, whatever it is, God's going to take care of it. On the day of judgment. And you get to witness that. You know, one of the key things about the book of Revelation is the souls that are underneath the altar, those are the Christians who have been put to death, and they're pleading and begging God for vengeance on those that have put them to death. And you see in the book of Revelation this idea that God does avenge those under the altar. And those under the altar are excited and joyful that God has made the wrongs right. We too can be rejoicing of the fact that all the times that we have suffered or dealt with or been a part of, you know, wrongs, God is going to make it right. And if I'm the one that made it wrong, He's going to make it right with me too. That's going to happen at the judgment. No more chances to obey the gospel. Those who do not obey the gospel, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Brother and sister in Christ, friends, those listening live stream, here's what it all boils down to. Here's the deal. You can believe what you want to. You can do what you want to. You can come if you want to. You can stay home if you want to. But here's the deal. If you don't obey the gospel, if you're not baptized into Jesus Christ, by the time that the Lord comes and or you die, you have lost your soul. Why? Because the Lord said that He is going to bring judgment on people that do not obey the gospel. That's why we plead with people. We beg people to do what's right. Why? Because God is going to come down with both feet on people that don't obey. That's the point. Well, Brother Salih, what about that person that's on the way to the baptistry and they get killed? Brother Salih, what about that person that's on the way, they die of a heart attack? What about that person that's getting ready to get in the baptistry and the Lord comes? I'm just going to tell you, I don't know. I don't have a clue about that. I know that there will be a judge, Jesus Christ, and He'll judge fairly. I know about the thief on the cross. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew all about his situation. Jesus judged him righteously. And He's going to do the same for you. Well, let me tell you, if you're thinking about you've got time to just wait, fool around, to not do His will, not obey His gospel, you're taking a chance, you're rolling the dice, yes, you're gambling with your soul. That's the bottom line. You're gambling with your soul that you're going to live long enough to become a Christian. Or you're going to become a Christian before He comes back. Because here's the deal. Here's the bottom line. If you ain't done it by the time He comes back, the end of time, you waited too late. That's it. You say, well, now that's a fear tactic. You got it. That's exactly what it is. The wicked will be condemned to eternal destruction. Of eternal destruction. Now, if you do something wrong, I actually heard a criminal say one time, he said that he killed his wife. And they sentenced him to 10 years in prison. You know what he said? It's worth it. It was worth it to go to prison for 10 years. Well, it might be that we would have the disposition that, you know, I would live wickedly in this old world if I only had to spend, you know, 10 years in hell. Maybe that's what we're thinking. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said it's eternal. Now somebody says, well, you know, it's not a loving, kind God and merciful God for somebody to sin and do wrong and then let them make them spend eternity in hell. Just take that up with God when the day of judgment comes. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why God, if you just told a lie and you were not forgiven and you spend eternity in hell versus, you know, the world's worst Hitler. I don't know how God's going to judge all that and deal with all that. But I do know this. His Word says the penalty for everyone's the same. Eternity in hell. That frightens me. I tell you, I don't know how many times I've thought about saying something, doing something, and then I thought about that, and I thought, whoa, ain't worth it. Back off. I think I've used this illustration. Let me use it quickly. I told a guy one time, he said, I love to fish on Sunday. And he wouldn't come to church. In fact, we'd be standing out in the churchyard there and just before services would start, and he'd pass and he's with his boat behind him, and he'd wave at everybody. He was on the way to the lake. Wouldn't come to church. So I talked to him one day. I was trying to encourage him. He said, "I just like to fish." I just asked him, I said, "Do you like to burn?" He said, "What do you burn? What are you talking about?" I said, "Can you stand fire pretty good?" "What do you mean?" He was a smoker, and I said, "Can I borrow your big lighter?" I said, "Now just hold that under your hand. Does that feel good?" He said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "Hell's a lot hotter than that. Hope you catch a big one today." Now somebody thinks, well, that's unkind, that's rude, that's ugly. No, that's reality. We try to justify things like that. There's no justification for doing wrong, ever. God will judge us. What's the penalty? Eternal destruction. Is that fish worth it? The righteous are going to be awarded eternal life. Can you imagine eternity with God? In the first period, I used Daniel Clemens as an example. He just got back from Colorado a few days, and I asked him, "Did you enjoy Colorado?" "Yes." "Was it beautiful?" "Yes." Like, they had snow out there still in the mountains and stuff. If you've never been to Colorado, it's just an absolutely gorgeous place. The great thing about vacation is you're on vacation. The bad thing about vacation is it ends. You have to come home. But you know, heaven's not going to be like that. The great thing about heaven, you're going to be in heaven. There ain't no bad thing about it. Because it's going to last forever. Do you know why you need to become a Christian? Do you know why you need to be faithful and do what's right? It's because heaven is going to be really, really great. And in the day of judgment is when you hear that you get to go. There were a lot of pictures on Facebook yesterday, people graduating from college and master's degree and all that sort of thing. That's great. But in the day of judgment, here is the day that you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, what does that mean? You get to go to heaven, and you're not going to be there 10 years, 20 years. You're going to be there forever. Forever. That's going to be awesome. It'll be your heavenly home. A place that's been prepared for you. Reserved in heaven. You know, Michael, you got your place right over there. God's got it fixed for you. Daniel, your place is right over there. God's got it fixed for you. Remember Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." What a wonderful thing that's going to be. That's in the day of judgment. You get to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So are you ready for the day of judgment? Have you felt a little uncomfortable this morning? Has this bored you? Are you not interested? Don't care? Or you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. You don't know when that's going to happen. I've gone way over on the sermon today. But today's lesson is just one of those lessons that I cannot say enough. And I just need to take as long as I can to encourage us all. The day of judgment is coming. Are you afraid? You should be. It's a great day. You need to get ready. Get ready to go. When we talk about extending the invitation, I understand. We hear there's only a few things that you can say about get baptized. There's only a few ways you can say that. There's only just a few ways you can say, well, if you're not living right, you need to get right. And me, and along with a number of other guys, you try to think of some new way of saying, you need to become a Christian today. But here's the bottom line. Here's the strongest invitation I know how to give anybody. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And if you've not been baptized into Christ by that time, you're going to be lost. Not because I said so. Because of the Lord. Now, if the Lord grants you mercy, kindness, and He judges your life, and you weren't baptized, and He says you can go to heaven, I'm going to be fine with that. As soon as I see you, I'm going to give you a high five. Glad you made it. That's not what you read about in the book. Our God is a loving God. He's a merciful God, and He's a forgiving God. But one thing about the day of judgment, God is once and for all going to let us all know He doesn't put up with foolishness. And if you've just been half-heartedly serving the Lord and just doing the least that you can get by with, I'm encouraging you. Change. Give it all you got. God is not satisfied with lukewarm. Why? Because the day of judgment is coming. May God bless us all to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you fearful of that day? Me too. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.